God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. Our text is from Isaiah 9 again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here ends our text. It was Christmas Eve, and a confident five-year-old was showing his three-year-old brother around a life-size nativity scene at their church. Here are the shepherds, he said. Then he explained that over there are the sheep and the cows and the wise men, and that's the baby Jesus right in the center. And next to him is Mary, that's Jesus' mother. And behind her is her husband, Virge. The boy's grandfather was standing behind them. Overhearing the grandson, he quickly stepped in and offered a correction. Wait a minute, Mary's husband was named Joseph, not Virge. The five-year-old wrinkled his brow and then he asked, well then, how come I keep hearing about Virgin Mary? Sometimes there's no joke like an old joke. And we smile at it this evening at the misunderstanding of the name of Joseph. You know, he could have been called Virge, and it really wouldn't have made any difference. It would not have affected his role as the protector and provider of the Christ child. But we had better not misunderstand this baby, whose birth we are preparing to celebrate again this very week. What does Scripture tell us about this Jesus? His name is that name which is above every other name, the name at which every knee should bow, every tongue confess in heaven and earth, that he is indeed God. Indeed, the name Jesus means everything to us. He is our Savior. And it is because he is our Savior that we stop to celebrate. 27 centuries ago, Isaiah wrote about this same special child who was to be born in Bethlehem. He wrote about it in this verse that has served as our text for all these Wednesday evenings here in Advent. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. To us a child is born, yes. A child was born way back there in Bethlehem. It was all in fulfillment of God's prophet, promise. He was born to Mary and Joseph, who had traveled to Bethlehem to be taxed at the command of their emperor, Augustus. And yes, he was born in a stable because they were very poor. And there was no room for them in the inn. But lo and behold, the angel hosts did fill the sky. And they sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Why all that commotion? Because there's something more here than simply shepherds and camels and a manger in Bethlehem. Why all the commotion? Because this Jesus, in this Jesus, a son is given to us. And Isaiah calls him Mighty God. Now, Isaiah is not in doubt when it comes to an understanding of the Mighty God. He was a man of Israel. And as a man of Israel, he knew of the might and power of his God. God spoke, and the world was made. He simply spoke over the course of 6 days. And the heavens and earth were ordered. The sea and the dry land were created. Plants and animals all sprung up. They were all carefully ordered to reflect the glory of God and to serve the welfare of the men and women who were made in his image. Isaiah knew all about the Mighty God. He knew all about that great flood in the days of Noah, when evil had overtaken the world, and when God had enough, he caused it all to be washed away. From childhood, he had heard the stories of God's wrath against the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. He learned about the drowning of hard-hearted Pharaoh and all of his hosts in the depths of the Red Sea, thus delivering his people from slavery. At God's command, the walls of Jericho fell. The Canaanites were driven from the land. A kingdom was established for his very own people in that blessed promised land. Isaiah knew about the might and power of God. And with great confidence, he took up his prophet's mantle and began to declare the words of this Mighty God. He boldly delivered God's words of judgment toward the nations and towards Judah. That's what prophets did. Check your Old Testament. They were often called to give very difficult messages to difficult people in their day. But then in the end of this book of Isaiah, we find wonderful words of comfort for those who would be brought back from that Babylonian captivity. And perhaps more than any other prophet, this Isaiah reveals for us Emmanuel and his messianic kingdom. He makes it his goal to connect us with this Jesus, the same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. In chapters 7 through 12, he does introduce us to the great Emmanuel, God with us, and his messianic kingdom. In chapter 7, he tells us that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would indeed be Emmanuel. He told us that this Messiah would come from the family of David. He said a shoot would come out of the stump of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. And lo and behold, the wolf would lie down with the lamb, the leopard with the goat, the calf and the lion, and the little child would lead them all. And in our text, he reveals him to us this evening as the mighty God. Now, how can that be? We've already talked about Bethlehem. And when Jesus was born there, he didn't look much different than any other baby. He was not born with a halo around his head, as some of our Christmas cards picture him. Yet in a very, very significant way, Jesus was different. Yes, he was in every way the son of Mary. But what did Gabriel tell her? He was also the son of God. Jesus had been conceived in her by the power of the Holy Spirit. That conception was announced by the angel Gabriel, who had to come to her to outline God's own purpose for her in her life. Perhaps a difficult message for her to receive at the time, and she received it, she did. And then later on in his baptism, the heavens opened up and God the Father spoke his blessing upon this same Jesus. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And Peter then recognized the uniqueness of Jesus when he proclaimed in the midst of all the rest of the disciples, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So why is this Jesus special? This Jesus is true God. True God who took on true humanity. There was no one like him before this, and there will never be another like him in the future. He is mighty God. We're his people, and we know he's mighty in the deeds that he's performed. Think of all the wonderful miracles Jesus performed in the lives of so many people. The deaf could hear, the dumb could speak, the blind could see, the lame could walk, the hungry were fed, and even the dead were raised to life. From far and wide, the faithful came to experience his miracles and to believe in him. No wonder Isaiah has no problem calling him mighty God. And we ourselves, we've had no difficulty in confessing him down throughout the centuries. We confess him as one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. We do our best to confess him as mighty God in our lives. But we can't forget what he really means to us. This child of Bethlehem is Jesus. He is God and man in that manger. In every time, in every place, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Still, the most wonderful thing about that child of Bethlehem is the forgiveness he brings. And that is the important job, the most important mission of our mighty God. Yes, he created all things with his word alone. Destroyed this whole earth with a flood. Brought down evil nations. Had his own son born into this world. But the most marvelous thing about our mighty God is the forgiveness that he brings to his people. There is no sin that he will not forgive. See if you can find that sense of forgiveness amongst human beings. You can search your whole life long and you're not going to find that anything that's at all close to this marvelous grace of our God. Why is he like this? Because he's also the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's how Isaiah also describes him in a chapter of the Bible that's more closely associated with Good Friday. Perhaps you wondered why Pastor Bosco was reading those chapters this evening. in that 53rd chapter, Jesus is described as the lamb who was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep before her shearers is silent, so Jesus was silent in the face of his persecutors. He is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not a lamb who provides potential forgiveness for the world or partial forgiveness for the world. The Lamb of God, a divine lamb who takes away the sin of the world, all of it. He did so by dying upon the cross. And that's the blessing of our divine God. A God who comes to Bethlehem with that mission in mind. That baby came to die, to bring this necessary forgiveness to all mankind. This he did on the cross. But he didn't stop there. He rose again on the third day. He burst forth from that tomb. He confirmed once and for all that he was indeed the Son of God, that he was mighty God himself. He confirmed our forgiveness for all eternity. Now, because he lives, Scripture says, we will live also. And nothing, not life or death, or things to come, or things present, nothing will ever be able to separate us from that love. That's the real message of Christmas. It's no wonder that the angels appeared in mighty hosts that first Christmas Eve, singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You and I know what it took to bring that peace to all men on earth everywhere. It's no wonder that the shepherds came to Bethlehem. No wonder that kings came from afar to worship him. No wonder Mary kept all of these things up and pondered them in her heart. It's no wonder that more than 2,000 years later, you and I have gathered here to worship. Because we wish to prepare our hearts in true Advent fashion. We want to be prepared to welcome him again in our celebrations this weekend. We want to be prepared to welcome him always into our individual hearts at any time and in any place we might be. And we want to be prepared this evening and always to welcome him as he prepares to come again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will remain in your hearts and in your minds, and will stand forward to eternity.